Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK with Sean and Steve in a second. We'll check in from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. You can drop an email to our inbox, stevejones@wkok.com, all lowercase letters, stevejones@wkok.com. And we're on social media. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. And we invite you to subscribe to our podcast as well on iTunes, Google Play. Just search Steve Jones Show. Hit subscribe and you're all set.
Oh, sounds simple. Sounds good.
Yeah. A couple clicks away. Yep.
So I assume we're setting up the roundtable for Thursday. I'm going to assume, only just based on a perfect attendance record, Zach Showers will be on.
You betcha.
I'm going to assume, because of a several-year perfect attendance record, Greg Wetzel's going to be on.
No-brainer.
Okay, I could transition off of that, but I'm not going to.
We'll plan for Kevin at this point. We'll wait and see.
Do we have any idea? Because, I mean, we found out Wednesday's bad, right?
And in the this week, we should be good then.
In the past, though, we've also found out that Thursday was bad.
That's true on certain weeks. Yeah.
And when I've talked to Jamie, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday weren't much better for me. She just drove off the road.
Or closed her door to laugh louder so no one else, none of us could hear.
She's just joining the chorus. I mean, right. The whole station's in now. They're all good. Neil Coulong today on the Steelers. The Steelers have become the classic bad team. Here's what I mean by that. Okay, you're like, oh, how rude. No. You hear me out. The classic bad team is the one that has a deficiency, okay, and it keeps showing up, and then when they finally get that week where it's not that bad, the strong part of the team fails. Of all the times. Look, the Steelers have not been good defensively. Fair?
Oh, more than fair. Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They actually played a decent defensive game on Sunday night, and the offense didn't score a point in the second half. Of all the times to happen. But you know what? This is what I want to look at the Steeler offense for a moment. From Bruce Arians to a point with Todd Haley. All right. I always felt the Steelers offense was a little bit different than everybody else's. More motion, the way they used Bell was different. But you felt like there's a little more bravado to it. They'd run some reverses. They'd run some passes off of that. Just a couple little, plays in there that just made them a little different than everybody else. You know what, Sean? When I watch the Steelers' offense right now, and I've felt this now for like 3 weeks, I feel like I'm watching everybody else. Like, same formation, same whatever, and everybody is doing to Antonio Brown what the Patriots in the AFC Championship game did to Antonio Brown. Okay. Antonio Brown is not doing much of anything right now.
No, no. Juju's been getting much more looks these days. I mean, especially on certain plays where AB may be getting double teamed or triple teamed, and just seems like at fast glance at several offensive drives, it just seems like Juju is getting more looks from Ben compared to AB.
Yeah,
it falls more onto Ben's shoulders, especially the Kansas City game and the Baltimore game. I mean, you couldn't even barely get into your couch, and they're down 14-0. So it feels like they're forced to get something done early.
Well,
to at least get back in the game.
Some of it I would, maybe some of it on Ben, but like you mentioned going to Juju Smith-Schuster. That's actually a veteran play to make. They're taking out this. I've got a pretty good guy over here. I'm going to go over here. And then a couple games after they start catching on by going over here, which means they have to defend it, you can then eventually get back to Brown. Now, the question is whether Antonio Brown has the patience to play that game. All right? But, I mean, because defensively, they're just... you looked at Baltimore. Now, maybe it's because of bringing the quarterback from Louisville in. Bringing him in to run the ball, whatever. Now, I got to say this. The Ravens are going to have to be a little more innovative with that. At some point, he's got to throw the ball. You just can't keep running plays where he takes the snap and he goes. You just can't do that. Flacco will either come to the bench or go to a split out spot, okay? But for the most part, whenever he comes in the game, he's run the ball. Well, to me, I think you've got to be able to change that up a little bit. I'll give you an example. This is an old example, but it's the Alamo Bowl. Penn State is playing Texas A&M in the Alamo Bowl, 2007. Anthony Morelli's the starting quarterback, and the Penn State's had a good night, but he incorporated elements of the Wildcat into the Penn State offense that night, but they did it with the backup quarterback, soon to be starter in the next season, Darrell Clark. Well, Clark handled the ball five times in that Alamo Bowl, and all five times he ran the ball. So I pulled Joe aside after the game, and I said, hey, I thought the Clark package worked great. I said, was there any point where he was going to throw the ball? And he says, funny thing is, Steve, he said, the very next play that we had in for him, he said, we just never got to it, was a pass play. And that's what you're going to have to see out of the Ravens. But the Ravens look far more innovative. To me, the Ravens have always been the team that looked like everybody else, Sean. Except they look like the more exciting, dynamic offensive team.
Well, and you combine that with the fact that Joe Flacco, I feel he has something to prove just for the fact that they did draft Lamar Jackson. Okay, I don't want to give my job. Flacco's probably saying to himself, I don't want to give my job right over to him right away. I got something to prove. And what's he do? He throws for 360-plus on Sunday night.
Yeah.
You throw that into the mix as well.
Well, I think after watching the preseason, I don't think Joe Flacco's all that worried about losing his job. I mean, Lamar Jackson's a dynamic athlete playing quarterback, but he's not an NFL quarterback.
But you're right with Jackson. I mean, we've seen some flashes of brilliance with his passing game at Louisville. But once he gets a chance to stretch defenses out, he's even more potent as a runner.
Well, the Steelers had a guy like that in Hines Ward.
Yeah.
They had a guy like that in Antoine Randall-El. They don't have anybody like that right now. And nor do they act like they're a team that wants to do anything different or innovative. They look like, quote, everybody else. Just plug in different names. So.
Well, if you're lined up across a team that can only muster 47 yards total offense in the second half, and your running back only 19 yards rushing, the worst for a Pittsburgh rushing attack since 1970. If you can't come out of that game with a W, then there's a problem.
Right. So, I mean, it's just, this is what happens to the teams that are really in a rough patch. You've got a strong part of your team, you have a weak part of your team. This is the equivalent of the game with Baltimore on Sunday night was the equivalent to the baseball team that has great pitching and mediocre hitting. Okay. They finally get that day where the hitting hits stride and they score 8 runs and the pitching has an off day and gives up 9. For the Steelers, they went out on Sunday night and their defense wasn't great, awesome, or incredible, but their defense was good enough to win the game on Sunday night. They only, what, they give up 3 field goals in the second half? I mean, you can win with that. Problem was they didn't score any points in the second half. I don't know what's worse, that or the Eagles giving up 3 fourth downs in overtime. Great defense, first, second, third down, give it up. Great defense, first, second, third down, give it up. One of them was 15 yards. 4th and 15. All right.
Yeah, speaking of the Eagles, that's really going to be interesting in the rematch with Minnesota on Sunday. I mean, in the past, in Eagles-Redskins matchups, Kirk Cousins did a really good job exploiting the Philly secondary. So this will be really interesting on Sunday.
Well, it's interesting is we're up to game 5.
Yeah.
And the Eagles are 2-2, and the Vikings are 1-2-1. Huh? Including a loss to the Bills. What? That's amazing. That is amazing. They're 1-2-1 right now. And the funny thing is, the Steelers and the Vikings are 1-2-1. Do you look at the two the same?
No way.
No.
Mm-mm.
Hmm. If Mike Zimmer can't figure it out, darn well the person sitting in this chair can't. All right.
But no, when you stack up the AFC North, I mean, you know, obviously the Browns are going to play better. They can only go nowhere from, you know, than from where they were last year. They can go nowhere but up. Look at the Bengals. They're off and running. They're 3-1. 6 of their next 8 games are at home, and Baltimore has been very, very solid.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, so Don forwards me, or excuse me, Sean forwards me this email from Don where... where the end is really nice. I get invited to something, which is good. As I predicted before your 2 hours began, saying I was going to be an apologist. Don didn't quite listen to what I said yesterday, but that's okay. I don't expect people to be great listeners. All I said was on the fourth down call, if you look at the picture of it, right, just on the picture of it, that there was going to be a big hole, and but Young stunted, and if he's chipped, if you see the picture of it, you're like, wow, it could go all the way. That doesn't mean I endorsed giving the ball at all. I said I want – what did I say, Sean? And I said it 3 or 4 times yesterday. I've always been a big proponent of having the ball in the hands of my best player. How many times did I say that yesterday?
Quite a bit.
Yeah. That part's not acknowledged in here at all. Okay? All I said about – the play was, gee, when I saw the picture of it, I was like, oh, okay, I can see the hole and why it got blown up. That's all I said. It had nothing to do. Apologize, you got a definition of apologist, a person who defends in speech, writing, a faith, doctrine, or idea, or action. Okay? Because I have the ability to look at the still picture of it and say, geez, okay. Wow, I see why the play would have worked, and I see why the play got blown up. That's all I was trying to point out, why each was there. Me, I've got a guy with 461 yards in total offense who's the best player on the field, not just in the game, not just for Penn State, who's the best player in the field. Idealistically, do you want the ball in his hands? Idealistically, yes, I want the ball in his hands. And I think I made that point rather clear yesterday. Maybe not clear enough for everybody, but on the good side, I do enjoy your radio show and the insider access you can provide. If your schedule allows, see, I'll take Don up on this. Sounds like a couple of great places. How about that?
Yeah.
Can I take Sean with me?
Or maybe I'll just stagger in after work. Since both there are right on Route 45 in Mifflinburg, so.
Oh, very nice.
That he has brought up, sure. You know very how to nice. Get there from where you're at now, so.
Actually, I do. Now, yeah, I've never stopped at either one of these places, but I knew how, and I do know how to get there.
Yeah.
There we go. So. But yeah, I think I must have. How many times did I say that yesterday?
But, more than once.
You know? Now, I did not. The one thing I decided not to do yesterday is I didn't think it would be fair to anybody because, how many times I told the Bobby Engram story with Joe?
Mm-hmm.
And I decided not to tell that yesterday about the Michigan State game. How he made everybody change the call. But, because I don't think that's fair to the current staff to start comparing with old staff and things like
that. I'll throw this out here. We may not have time to dive into it between now and 3:30 since we have a minute and a half to go. Since they took the two timeouts before that 4th and 5. Let's say it was a play that Ricky called, and maybe within between the first and second timeout could be a play that maybe James would want instead.
I don't know.
I'm just looking into it a little too much.
I think Jack made a great point. It got to be like a basketball scenario where you call a timeout, you see how they line up, so then you call a timeout. I thought Jack's analogy of saying it was like basketball was like that.
You got the ball at midcourt. You're going to throw it in with like 1.2 to go. Okay, I see what they're doing on defense. All right, I'm going to call a timeout.
I'll call a timeout. Jack talked about that.
Yeah.
I mean, both teams went through this. I mean, the fourth down call that Ohio State made at midfield that Sharif Miller blew up. Now, it's always easy to concentrate on what you have. I mean, but, look, the bottom line is it didn't work. The bottom line is it did not work.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey, did you see this? It's one thing about, today's phones and iPads and so forth. We have a tornado watch.
Yeah, this kicked in a couple of minutes ago during the news. Nuts.
There's severe weather alert for Lamont. Okay. So the tornado watch is in effect for Center County, which is obviously where I am, but it also includes Northumberland, Northampton, Mifflin County, Juniata, all across the area. Tornado watch. Holy mackerel. Till 11 o'clock at night. Yeah, there's your basic wide range. A tornado watch. You know how many tornado watches we get every 5 years?
Not too many.
It's October.
Yeah, especially this time of year.
Yeah. Holy mackerel. How about that? Okay. Well, they insist. It rained a little. Has it rained there at all? Has it rained a little bit here? Not much.
Be honest with you, I haven't even looked out the window over the past hour. Shame on me. I didn't get a chance to see what's really going on out there today. Let's kind of keep my nose to the grindstone.
Yeah. I didn't expect that. Did not remotely expect that. Okay, so just beware, and that's in effect until 11 o'clock tonight. My goodness. So, look, just be aware of it, all right? You know, watch means that there's the possibility of it, and the conditions are right for it, but you know, it's also not guaranteed either. So just be careful out there, all right? Oh, Cindy and Shamokin Dam, how are you today? It's a pleasure to hear from you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to you, too. First, let me just say the sun is shining, something that rarely occurs here in Shamokin Dam anymore, so I'm kind of surprised about your weather warning myself. Usually every day is grim.
I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden my phone goes off, and I thought it was like an ESPN update. great. Let's see who did something. Oh. That's a little different.
Duck. It says duck.
Everybody. Mine said everybody run. I don't know what that meant.
Well, it's funny because FEMA and the FCC, they're supposed to be testing the emergency alert system tomorrow. They're supposed to be doing like a wireless emergency alert test tomorrow, like about 2:20 in the afternoon. I think, okay, maybe this was the test before the test.
the pre-test.
And believe me, that's where I excelled was the pre-test.
Oh, me too. had this been an actual test.
Set the bar low with your pre-test score, and then it always appears that you've improved.
Exactly.
That's a dirty little secret.
Good. That's what I do in the game broadcast every week. I set the bar low, and when it's done, they go, oh, you weren't that bad.
Yeah, right. So I don't know if you ever watched that early morning or listened to that early morning show, but one of the guys on there called me an iconoclast. And an iconoclast is someone who challenges conventional thinking, a kind of a rebel sort of a thing. And then,
Be proud.
Oh, I am. I couldn't be happier to be called an iconoclast, which I'm not sure is what his intention was in calling me that, but that's okay. I'm happy to be an iconoclast. But anyway, you know, I have a question.
The question, I
know you have a certain cynicism towards my football ideas. You know, you shot me down on the hit the uprights and you get extra points idea that I came up with.
I have to admit, you are a thinker.
Oh, that was tactful. Okay, so I'm thinking again. Okay,
good. And what,
I can't ask Jim or Joe because they're gone, right? Or I would, believe me,
true.
I would go right to them and make my case.
Okay.
And I thought about calling that guy, Kevin Herr, that used to be on this channel, this station,
yes.
But he's not on anymore, so I can't call him. So, Steve, I land with you as my source of
Cindy,
wisdom.
Cindy, I'm very happy to be there for you.
Okay. So I had this epiphany the other day, and I raised this issue with my family, all of whom, I'm going to tell you quite honestly, shot me down. It was a bloodbath. But anyway.
I think
in
so
the
far
spirit
this,
of
this
people
the,
like
this,
Roger
this,
Bannister,
the
why don't
is
we become the team that always goes for two?
Okay. You know what? That's actually a really good point. Okay. Because okay.
Was that recorded so I can play it for my husband?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I watched the other night the Steelers went for two. And there was a point last year, they talked about the number of times Mike Tomlin has gone for 2 points. I'll tell you who is a big believer in going for two, Cindy, and that happens to be the analytics people. Okay? The analytics people, when it comes to sports, take basketball, for example, analytics loves the three-point shot.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they love the three-point shot is the simple math of it. If I take 18 two-point shots and make 9, 50%, I get 18 points.
Mm-hmm.
If I take 18 threes and make 33% of them, 6, I still get 18 points. So the analytics people love point values, which now brings us to your question about the two-point conversion. The two-point conversion being valued in 2 points is something that analytics people love and have really been endorsing and pushing. There was a point in the opening game of last season where the first time Penn State played, they on their first touchdown went for 2 points and didn't make it. Okay. That's beside the point. But that goes to the analytics and the numbers of it. Mike Tomlin goes for 2 points more than anybody else, in part because of the point value that you're talking about. There was a point in this game on Saturday night when Penn State took the lead and led 19-14, where I wondered aloud if Penn State would go for two there. Now, me personally, if I'm there, I go for one. And the reason I go for one there is that I'm one of those part old school, but part see it, but part old school where I don't want to be chasing points too early. Now, the second one, when they went for two, I absolutely wanted them to go for 2 points. That's not chasing points early. You're trying to get it to a 14-point game. But analytics people would agree with you, Cindy, that are really deeply into analytics, that you should be going for two more because of the point value.
Well, if you go for two, if you become that team, you're immediately a threat to every other football team. Immediately, because they don't. They don't. If you decide that you're going to be the team that always goes for two, you're bound to get better at it. You're bound to develop stronger plays that are more successful. You build a faith in yourself, and you're bound to improve your earning of 2 points. I mean, that just makes sense to me. I know that that the odds seem to be against 2 points. I get that. And so when do they bring it out? In their most desperate emergencies, they bring out the 2 points. I think that's silly.
Or when you're looking at a point value situation, Penn State was up 12. Their idea was to get it to 14, okay, thus making it two touchdowns, two extra points. You're right about the most dire part is when they start thinking about 2 points.
But then they haven't built the skill. This is my perception, because, of course, I'm not over there watching them, right, working with the team.
And they do practice it. By the way, it's practiced in every practice.
I'm sure it is. That's just what my husband said, and he would know. So I have no doubt about that. But, for example, when we were in the last, not this most recent game, but in the two games preceding it, we were ahead. We could afford to miss. We could afford to not make two.
Yeah.
But try it in a game under pressure.
Okay, two things about that. Number one, if you try it later in the game when you've got like a 41-10 lead, you really don't. Do you want the perception of, quote, even though it's no big deal, running it up?
Yeah, that's what my husband said.
Okay, that's one. Okay, the other part, too, is do I want to put on tape my 2-point play?
Because you only have one?
No, but I'm saying because the 2-point play changes every week. Believe me, that's why I watch in practice. Believe they change the 2-point play up every week, so they don't go with the same one every week. You end up with an arsenal of a dozen of these, and so they change them up all the time. But there's also one. It's like any play. There's a certain plays that are your quote favorite, your go to play, and I don't know if you want to put that on tape when you don't need to.
Kind of like give it to Sanders. See if he can run it.
That probably was not it. 5 yards is a long way to go on that play, too. But you know, I understand that. I'm saying that there's certain things you don't want to put on tape when you don't need to.
But then, when do you get proficient at dealing with it in a real game? Because in a real game, don't they catch the ball most of the times when they throw it in practice, or are they dropping it left and right?
Depends on who it is.
Well, you're watching practice. I'm not.
Yeah, almost all of them are caught. There's no question about that. And that was always the thing about Mike Gesicki the first 2 years that drove Jack and me crazy. We'd watch Mike Gesicki as a freshman and a sophomore. You name the ball in the neighborhood. One hand behind the back, over the shoulder, between the legs, catch, catch, catch. In the game, thump, thump. The two of us would look at each other in the booth like, this can't be. Am I watching a mirage 5 days a week? Right? Now, finally, the last 2 years, you guys all got to see the mic that we watched every day.
Right. You know? Well, finally, he got over his jitters, or stage fright, or whatever you want to call it. He moved past that.
some days, you know, we're in the booth. I probably, if they put a camera in the booth, it would be a show unto itself. I'd be like, what the heck? It's not what I watch from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Well, anyway, okay, at least I can say to my family members who shot me down that you said there are people who do think this way. I'm not kidding.
Yes,
I'm serious about that. I was tongue-in-cheek, sort of, about hitting the uprights, but I'm serious about this.
Well, again,
I hear what you're saying,
right.
But I think if you became the team that always went for two, that upends the thinking, right? Everybody knows you get down and you kick the ball. Everybody knows this. So what if you start being that other team?
This is why in the NFL, this is where I've been surprised, Cindy. They moved the extra point backwards, a 33-yard attempt. Not as automatic. Now, if you go for two in the NFL, ball's on the 2-yard line. I'm surprised they haven't tried
it.
Right. I'm just saying, I've been surprised that that has not been opted more in the NFL because of the revised distance of the extra point as opposed to putting the ball on the 2-yard line. But in the analytics loves point value. That's why you're seeing, okay, they consider a strikeout the same as any other out. They want you to take uppercut swings and hit 3-run homers. Because of the run value of three versus, hey, we'll knock in one.
Oh, okay.
So, analytics is big on point value. Thus, to them, the two-point conversion is a point value play. So you can point that out to your family. You can say that with pride. When they roll your eyes, you can cite me as a source. And then, after you cite me as a source, you can watch them again roll their eyes.
Well, thank you for your patience and giving me a tiny bit of ammo in my argument for the year.
It is always fun to talk to an iconoclast.
And the same is true for you, sir. It's always fun to talk to you. Thank you.
I had to slip that in. See, I was listening the whole time.
You were, apparently. I'm impressed.
Thank you, Cindy.
Watch out for that, Joe. The next thing you know, he'll be calling you something, too.
Oh, believe me, wouldn't be the first.
Hey, take it easy.
Thanks so much. All right, we're going to take a break. That was a fun call, actually. And she's, you know, it's interesting that she has that thought, which there's nothing wrong with that thought in the least, because this is something in the last 3 years or so, with so much talk about analytics these days. Analytics, in the end, is a big believer in point value. In other words, if you look at analytics, is a huge believer in going forward on fourth down.
Just makes you wonder if Gabe Kapler was a football coach instead of a baseball manager, what the percentage would be, how many times he'd go for two.
Well, but then there's the other part. Football analytics, people who are deeply, deeply involved in the analytics of football, they believe in the two-point play, like Cindy just talked about, but they also are a major believer in going for it on fourth down. Like, wow. I don't think that way. To me, going for it on fourth down is a situational momentum spot in the field type of deal. But if you take some time and you read into analytics as to what the people who are really crunching numbers all the time, they'll be able to crunch numbers for you showing that going forward on fourth down, in their opinion, is a successful strategy. Now, I don't think that way. I think it's got to be time, score, situation, distance. Distance is a big thing to me. As to, you know, how much you need to get it. They believe, you know, I'm just telling you what they believe. It's interesting. All right. Because I think people would be surprised what the numbers show in these things. You know, and I've looked at the numbers. To me, you still have to coach by gut feel, but it doesn't hurt to have all the information sitting there to talk about it. So, Cindy, your idea is not wild and off the charts. It is something that in the analytics world is discussed repeatedly, because if somebody calls up the show right now and says, what about going for it on fourth down all the time? I would then give that person the exact same answer. Well, the analytics people tell you that going for it on fourth down is actually to them a percentage play. Which is interesting. Again, is it something I would do? No. No, more traditionalists, and also have no wins on my record. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Okay, our area, actually, there are parts in our area that now have a tornado warning. There is a circular rotation that's been spotted near Montgomery. Is that correct?
Yeah, tornado warning has now been posted until 4:45 for northwestern Northumberland County, southeastern Lycoming County, northwestern Montour, and northwestern Columbia County. About 5 minutes ago, a severe thunderstorm capable of producing a tornado, so conditions ripe for a possibility of some twisting and turning, located near Montgomery, moving east at 20 miles an hour. So there is a chance for flying debris that could be caused because of this storm. Mobile homes, a chance to be damaged or destroyed. So people that live near Muncie, Exchange, and moving over toward Millville and Turbotville will need to be watch out for that, especially for those traveling on Interstate 180 between mile markers 5 right. and 13. So keep in mind, if you're near that stretch of Interstate 180, you could be encountering some pretty nasty tornadic activity. It could happen. So there's a possibility. Take cover if you're in within the area of that tornado warning until 4:45.
Look, just hold off on traveling if you have to. All right.
We'll keep watch of it for you here as best we can.
I would think that that'd be important. Just, be careful. You know, if you're in an area that's not being threatened, okay, that's fine. But if there's an area that appears to be a potential threat, just kind of wait till it passes.
And once this passes, we'll have to get in touch with Heather Zarin, our crew at AccuWeather. Just ask them, when was the last time in central Pennsylvania in the Valley we had a tornado warning posted in October?
Man, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a nice, cool day this morning. I mean, here today is it warm to a point? Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, it's not. Let me see how warm it is here right now. I'm sure it's in the 70s here. Let's see here. 75 degrees. So it's in the mid-70s. But evidently, the ingredients are there for this. Wow.
Can't call it Indian summer. We haven't gotten the frost yet.
No. And on behalf of somebody who walks back and forth cutting his lawn every week, known as a good walk spoiled, that frost can't hear here fast enough, brother.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.